the award-winning Your Financial Editor program on 930 WFMD. News from the worlds of business and finance with Your Financial Editor, Chris Murray.
Welcome to another edition of the Your Financial Editor program right here on Free Talk Radio 930 WFMD at WFMD.com and as a podcast. Just go to Apple Podcasts and look for Your Financial Editor and you'll find it. I am Chris Murray, your host. So glad to be with you. I hope your weekend's going well. Interesting show for you today. We've got some good top stories, some economic data for you from this past week, and also joining me in just a little bit, Dr. David Legates, and he is a climatologist who specializes in precipitation and climate change. And he wrote a really good piece called Coastal Inundation, Rising Sea Levels Explained. So obviously there's a ton of misinformation out there, misdirection when it comes to the climate nonsense. If you've listened to the program before, you know my view. It's a scam. I think it's money laundering. It's paying off people. It's a grab for money and for power as well, and control by politicians and other elites out there that just live in their own little echo chamber. But the seriousness of it is that they do want control, and they're using nature and when it comes to the climate and things like that, to their advantage and to our disadvantage. So that's why we want to make sure we understand what's really going on and how it impacts us as American citizens, as our families, and also investors. There's fortunately been a lot of pushback on a lot of this nonsense that I'll be talking about in just a couple minutes. But like I said, we're looking forward to Dr. Legates, giving us the lowdown and the truth and the honesty in a couple areas when it comes to the climate misdirection. So interesting week. We had an IPO that was very successful. Social media platform Reddit's shares ended their first day of trading up 48%. So there was definitely an appetite out there for this initial public offering, the IPO. I found it interesting because Reddit was founded back in 2005, and they've never made money, not 1 year. So what they were doing in their roadshow when they were going around selling their IPO is, and they were very smart about this, is they kept throwing around artificial intelligence, AI, training grounds for artificial intelligence programs, and they tried to make that part of Reddit, where the bottom line seems to be that Reddit is going to make their money, although they haven't done it yet, by advertising. So there's absolutely nothing new and improved about that, but they were selling it, and it seemed to work. Because, like I said, the it opened at $47, $34, and then it opened at $47, and then traded at the end at $50.44. So that's where that 48% increase comes from. And people, like I said, were just really gobbling that up. And I would just say I'd be a little cautious about this kind of thing. The last time we had people throwing money at companies that weren't making any money, that just had .com behind their name, it didn't end well. So it'll be interesting, and I hope I'm proved wrong with my skepticism on Reddit and that they do really well. But, you start seeing these things where people ignore money losses and advertising's how you're going to make your money. It's just, to me, it's questionable. So we'll keep an eye on it. Also, unfortunately, we saw this week that Joann Fabrics, the Ohio-based fabric and craft retailer, had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. They've been in business for 81 years. They made the announcement on Monday. The stores and the website are going to remain open and continue operating as normal. So that's the good news for people who enjoy going into their stores or shopping online. Doesn't look like any of that's going to change. They just amassed way too much debt, so they have to restructure, and they have an interim CEO that's in there. But just a shame because, you know, for them to have dug their hole so deep that they had to go into Chapter 11. I mean, this, like I said, this company's been around since 1943, 829 store locations across 49 states. So the good news is they've already received about $132 million in commitments for new financing. So they're going to have to rearrange everything and get back on their feet. And I wish them well, because like I said, they've just been around forever, and it's such a niche, you know, when you talk about sewing and crocheting and all kinds of cool stuff that, you know, people have enjoyed, doing over the years. And somebody was mentioning, you know, also, I think it was Bob Miller when I was talking to him on the Morning News Express, that, you know, a lot, they do a lot of other things other than sewing and quilting and crocheting and all that. But so wish the best for them that they rebound. Fantastic news this week. The state of Texas terminated a massive $8.5 billion investment with BlackRock, the asset manager BlackRock. And that was because the state of Texas determined that BlackRock is engaged in a boycott of energy companies, and they are. They've already gotten smashed in the mouth over their ESG, environmental social governance. That's part of the climate hoax I was mentioning at the top of the show. But yeah, I mean, they basically, it's the Texas State Board of Education, it's what they call the Texas Permanent School Fund that had that investment, which, by the way, I mean, I think they have $53 billion total. So they pulled out 8.5 of that from BlackRock and basically said, look, you know, you guys are waging this false war against traditional, reliable, cost-effective energy like oil and natural gas, et cetera. So that's how a lot of the companies and citizens in the state of Texas make their living and have successful businesses. So they're like, if you're going to go against us, you can't have our money. We're not going to pay you all those big fees. So like I said, just I think it's great news because BlackRock is a stain among other companies out there that really work against Americans, and especially when you consider it's their hard-earned money that they're investing and benefiting from. Larry Fink, the CEO, is, you know, he's just a wannabe. He thought he was going to be Hillary Clinton's Treasury Secretary, and then, of course, she got whomped and didn't win the election. So he just goes from lap to lap, like a little lap dog, you know, wanting to be part of the in crowd. He's on the board at the World Economic Forum. He's had stupid comments like BlackRock has too many old white men working there, and that's what he is. So obviously, if he was telling you the truth, he would have already resigned and said he's a disgrace. But of course, he doesn't. He just, you know, says stupid things like that. So anytime something bad happens to BlackRock or one of those other companies, I think it's great because they're just a bunch of corporate and political hack wannabes. They're not needed. There's a lot of other companies to do business with. You know, you don't have to do BlackRock and State Street and Bank of America and others that are on that train where they're just using you for your money and really investing in things that you're probably totally against. Another interesting development, this has been going on for about a week, and I didn't talk about it until just a day or so ago because I wasn't sure how true it was, but Tyson's Foods are actively hiring illegal immigrants and illegal refugees. So this is terrible because they closed the plant in Iowa, and I want to say it was like 1,200 people losing their jobs. So, and at the same time, they said that they've hired these illegal immigrants from Venezuela, Mexico, and Colombia for plants down in Tennessee. They hired 70 others earlier in March. And some guy named Garrett Dolan at Tyson's Foods, he works in the Human Resources Department, said that migrants are very, very loyal and that we would like to employ another 42,000 if we could find them. So I guess that means that the Americans that work for you, Garrett Dolan and Tyson's Food, you don't say are loyal, hardworking. That's what you're saying, right? So now there's a boycott against Tyson. We'll see how it goes. I hope it goes well. I mean, I know I won't buy anything from him. But this is a wonderful success story in American history when it comes to business. I mean, they've amassed, it's Tyson's, you know, the chicken, Jimmy Dean, Hillshire Farm, Ballpark Franks, Sarah Lee, Star Angus Ranch, right? All these really, really good brands. And then they do something stupid like this. So hiring hardworking American taxpayers, firing them, and then hiring illegal immigrants. Come on, how much money do you need to make? Right? How many yachts, like they say, do you need to water ski behind? I mean, just, this is terrible. So, like I said, I hope that just like BlackRock, Tyson's, I mean, basically, Tyson's is having their Bud Light, Target, Disney moment, right? Where they sell everybody out to please the rich and famous. And the heck with all of the hardworking, patriotic Americans. So we'll keep an eye on that boycott, see how it goes. Something that wasn't good, also, credit scores have fallen for the first time in a decade. And that's because consumers are struggling to make payments on time and also to try to save a little money. That's according to a recent report from FICO. And FICO's Vice President of Scores and Predictive Analytics said it's a notable milestone. Not the kind you want to, you know, talk about, but he said this is the first time in well over a decade that the score went down. So it's another likely driver is that savings rates have trended back down to zero. And those savings cushions that many consumers have had, they've disappeared. And of course, we've been talking about this for the last few years. It's just unfortunate that we get report after report or study after study that shows this type of thing. Also, we saw U.S. wage growth slowed over the last year, according to new data from the career website Indeed. So the wage tracker showed that salaries were only up 3.3% in February compared with the same time 1 year ago. So salaries aren't keeping up with cost, with inflation, period. So people lie to your face on TV and on the radio and write things on the internet, but they literally are liars, and they lie right to our face. And it's just, it's so frustrating and almost funny too, because they're so good at being liars, and they have, they don't give it a second thought, I don't think. They just, they must enjoy it. They must enjoy being liars because that's all they do. And like I said, we see report after report, and it just disproves everything that they say. We got a lot of housing data this week. So builders' confidence in the U.S. housing market made a surprise jump into positive territory this month, actually hitting the highest level we've seen since last July as more home buyers gravitate toward new construction because of the existing shortage when it comes to existing homes. You just don't have the inventory, as we've talked about. So the National Association of Home Builders, their housing market index, which is a kind of like the pulse of the new single-family housing market, rose 3 points to 51 in March. So we finally got to 51. 50 is the break even. Now, 51 is nowhere near the historical average. It's much higher than that. But we'll take it, because anything below 50 is negative, and that's where we've been for so long. So it was nice to see that move. When I was looking at the information, the National Association of Home Builders chairman said that buyer demand remains brisk, and they expect more customers to jump off the sidelines and into the marketplace if mortgage rates continue to fall later this year. And he was also talking about, you know, even though there is that strong pent-up demand, builders continue to face several supply-side challenges, including a scarcity of buildable lots, skilled labor, new restrictive codes. That's just government getting in the way time and time again with over and unnecessary regulation and cost that is passed on to who? On to you. So, you know, that was good to see, like I said, that we got above 50 to a reading of 51. And then also we saw that single family home building rebounded in February, hitting the strongest level in nearly 2 years. So you had, you know, you had building permits and new build starts, you know, both of those were good, according to the Commerce Department, when they came out with their numbers. So, you know, that was positive in the housing sector. And then also we saw towards the end of the week, U.S. existing home sales increased to a one-year high in February. Again, supply improved a little bit. So still not a lot of inventory, but enough that, you know, we actually pushed the numbers up. Home sales were up 9.5% last month, according to the National Association of Realtors. And the rebound occurred despite pending home sales that we saw back in January. So that's the good news. The sales were up and inventory was up. The bad news is prices went up too. So, and it didn't matter where you were. It didn't matter if you were in the South, Midwest, the West, Northeast. Prices were up across the board. The median existing home price increased 5.7% from a year earlier to $384,500 in February. And like I said, that was, we saw those home prices increase in all four regions. So, you know, it's one of those things where it just continues to be a seller's market, right? You don't have enough inventory, home prices keep going up, and people, if they were wondering about selling, the other thing they have to deal with on the seller side is, am I going to get out of my 3.5% or 4% mortgage maybe that I have and then get into a 6% or 7% mortgage? And of course, that's a headwind for the new buyers as well. On the other side of the trade is they're trying to get in, even though mortgage rates have, you know, basically almost doubled. Because of all the spending and the inflation and the Federal Reserve raising rates so much, are they able, you know, you've got housing prices going up. Luckily, interest rates come down just a little bit that might allow people, you know, to make those numbers work so that they can get qualified for their mortgage and, of course, the monthly payment that goes along with that. We got initial jobless claims like we do on Thursday morning, and it showed that they were down by 2,000, but like every week, the previous week was revised to show you that 750 initial claims weren't put on the books. So you're always like, you know, 750 is low. Usually, like, you see thousands, just like that pathetic jobs report that we got recently when the headline number was better than expected, but then the prior 2 months revisions were just horrific. And it's just a bait and switch at the Labor Department with their leadership. And we saw it in the Obama administration, both terms, and we're seeing it once again in all of these, whether it's a cabinet position or some bureaucrat or other appointee. that are just making very, very poor decisions. And I think, you know, against the American worker and the American families out there for sure. We did have that two-day Federal Reserve meeting. No big surprises. We didn't expect them to move anywhere on interest rates. They didn't. But Jerome Powell did say that, you know, he thinks we're going to have three interest rate cuts this year. I don't know how, when inflation's not going away, the CPI, the PPI, the PCE, their preferred index that they look at, all of those have been far away from their target of 2%. So something has to give. Either that data has to dramatically improve, or they're going to move the goalpost and say, as I've mentioned before, oh, maybe 2% is too low. Let's make 2.5% or 3% or 3.5% our target. Because why? They can't get it down to where it's supposed to be. So, all right, so we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll be talking with my guest, Dr. David LeGates, on climate and the environment.
It's your financial editor with Chris Murray on 930 WFMD.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
Welcome back. This is Chris Murray, your financial editor on Free Talk Radio 930 WFMD at WFMD.com. And as a podcast, just go to Apple Podcast and search your financial editor, and there it'll be. And welcome to the program. Hope your weekend's going well if you're just joining us. And whether you've been with us from the beginning when I started the program in 1997, or you're just joining us for the first time today, welcome, and thanks for being part of the success. I mean, you're the reason for it, so thank you very much for that. And the other part of making the program such a success is the thoughtful and knowledgeable and informative people that we have the opportunity to speak with on a weekly basis, so that we know that we're getting the truth, because there's so much mistruth out there these days. People lie right to your face and expect you to believe it, and you know, not miss a step. And it's a real shame. And as you know, for the last over 25 years, our goal has been to tell you the truth and to lay things out as best we can, so that we're more informed and more educated as we go through life, and it helps us with our decisions. I'm very glad to have with us today Dr. David LeGates. He's a climatologist who specializes in precipitation and climate change, as well as spatial statistics. He got his bachelor's, master's, and PhD all from the University of Delaware, where he is professor emeritus currently. And he was also part of the Trump administration in the important area of climate. And he also works for the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. And I'm going to give that. I mean, if you don't have a pen or paper to write down that website, it is, like I said, Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation.org. You can search it and find it, and we'll give out the website in just a minute. So having said that, Dr. LeGates, thank you so much for joining the program and for taking time out of your busy schedule. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Let me correct one thing. The website is just cornwallalliance.org.
Perfect.
It's all one word. .org.
Okay, perfect. And we'll give that out a couple more times to make sure people can utilize that. I found it extremely interesting and informative. And, you know, folks, you can go on there. They have a brand new book out now called Climate and Energy, The Case for Realism, but all kinds of good stuff. And I guess, you know, Dr. LeGates, just give us a little bit of background about the Cornwall Alliance.
Well, the Cornwall Alliance is a compendium of theologians, of economists, of climate scientists who have come together to realize that there's a lot of hype that's going on with the climate change narrative, and in particular, it's taking us away from the real mission, which is to glorify God and to care for others. And I'm afraid that by the policies that we're enacting to attempt to stop climate change, to stop global warming, that it's going to send more of the world into poverty, and that's headed backwards. I mean, in the early 1800s, about 10% of the population was above the poverty line. Now it's about 90%, and that's been a good thing, and much of that's been due to fossil fuels and inexpensive energy. And there's a lot of people trying to push to take us back before the Industrial Revolution, and I'm afraid to put lots of people back into poverty and just make their lives miserable.
Yeah, and they're the ones that suffer the most. I'm so glad to hear, you know, that as part of your mission, because it is the poor, it's you know, the marginalized, that with traditional reliable energy sources, we've been able to, you know, to help in so many great ways. So, you know, for me, when you hear about all the climate agenda and the Green New Deals and all this other garbage, I was able to sum it up in my own mind pretty quickly. It's about power. It's about money. It's about control. So it's just the opposite. These people making these decisions and implementing, you know, these different choices that are against the poor people who they say they supposedly champion.
Yes, it is exactly right. It is power, money, and control. That's what it's really about. It's that they don't really care about humans. I mean, we see that with the push for abortion on demand. We see that with euthanasia. I mean, I'm living in Delaware right now, and we've got a bill that just went through for human composting, essentially to turn humans after they die into nothing more than dead animals and without dignity. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So they really hate human life. They want to reduce the human population to about 500,000, and that means getting rid of about 1 in 12 or 11 in 12 people. And so, I mean, it's just, when you start to look into it, it's almost, it's gruesome.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You know, you're starting to see a pushback. It seems to me like they had been doing their ESG stuff in the dark. And I know they're continuing to do that, but, you know, the last couple of years they felt emboldened that they could come out and brag about environmental and social governance and all that stuff. And now they're going back into the shadows. They're removing ESG from the end of their mutual funds or whatever it may be. We saw this week, I thought it was wonderful. I talked about it earlier in the program. The state of Texas terminated a massive $8.5 billion investment with BlackRock, who in my mind is just pure evil. Larry Fink, his agenda, you know, all of that. So I thought that was wonderful that Texas basically said, look, we have traditional, reliable, cost-effective energy that we provide people. And along the way, it's all those jobs that are created that takes care of the worker and his family or her family. So I thought it was great. They're like, okay, you're going to declare war on the right kind of energy, then we're going to take our $8.5 billion from you and put it elsewhere.
Yeah, and a lot of people believe that wind and solar are clean and green, that they have no polluted footprint. And the problem is, if you actually look into it, the rare earth minerals that you need are it's really an anti-environmental maneuver to get them out of the ground. See, they don't exist in seams like coal or silver. They exist all over the place. And so to get them out, you have to take and dig up large amounts of land. You have to treat it with toxic chemicals, and then they settle out, and you keep doing this over and over again. Now, we have not allowed in the United States in many years strip mining, which is the process. But many third world countries, China in particular, is attempting to use these third world countries to get these materials to sell them on the open market. What a lot of people don't understand is it involves an awful lot of toxic waste to be able to produce them. And in many places, it's being used either by slave labor or by child labor. So if you're interested in social justice, I mean, this is not the way in which we should be doing business. But unfortunately, it is. And unfortunately, you know, we have the impression in the United States, because we see a turbine spinning, and apparently it's not producing any carbon dioxide or nitrous oxides or methane gases. But in fact, to get it there and to get all the material out is a very environmentally unfriendly process. And that's what people have to understand.
No, I agree 1,000%. And it was a couple years ago. I'm not sure if you know Mark Mills from the Manhattan Institute, but we were having the same conversation, and he was validating everything that you just said. For like every EV battery, car battery, there's 500,000 pounds of earth that has to be moved. And when you think about, again, what it takes to do that versus extracting energy in the most efficient and safe way possible, as far as traditional reliable energy, there's no comparison whatsoever.
Not at all. And I mean, in here in Delaware, we are pushing for the California standard. We've already implemented it. We will be essentially net zero by 2050, probably earlier. But I mean, to get there, we have an EV mandate. And I could talk for the next half hour on the problems associated with electric vehicles. It sounds so clean and green, but how are we going to get that electricity? And if you start putting it on the grid with a lot of wind and solar, what people don't realize is these so-called renewable energies are not renewable, but they also have to be tended, because unless you want to have rolling blackouts and brownouts, which I'm afraid we're going to have, a grid run largely on wind and solar is going to collapse from time to time, because the wind stops blowing, the sun stops shining. And unless you have a nuclear plant sitting in the background, right, ready to make up the difference, or a coal-fired power plant, as we have here in Delaware, that sits by and idles and waits to make up the difference, then you're going to get blackouts. And that's what the PJM grid, which runs our area, is essentially saying, is that by putting more and more wind and solar on and retiring coal and other sources of fossil fuels, that you can expect brownouts and blackouts in your future.
Yeah, when they're definitely not necessary. We're talking today with my guest, Dr. David LaGates. He's a climatologist who specializes in precipitation and climate change, as well as spatial statistics. Got his bachelor's, master's, and PhD all from the University of Delaware, where he is a professor emeritus. He worked in the last administration, the Trump administration, when it came to, I think it was titled, he was the executive director of the United States Global Change Research Program. And I wanted to encourage everybody again to go to cornwallalliance.org, brand new book that you can grab there. You can order it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's called Climate and Energy, The Case for Realism. That's what we're doing. We're living the real life, right? Talking about these things that don't make sense and are counterproductive and hurtful to human beings versus the stuff that they're trying to shove down our throat. So the other thing, Dr. LaGates, is I've been told that solar panels, when their time is done, they're basically, a piece of toxic trash. What do you do with an EV battery that weighs, 1,000 pounds when it doesn't work in a car anymore? The wind turbines, we know what they are doing to the sea life. I mean, what happens when you have to, disregard these things? Are you just going to bury them somewhere? What are they going to do with it?
We are always told we will have this figured out by the time we get lots of them to dispose of. And of course, that is pie in the sky. A lot of this material just can't be recycled. And right now, things are running end of life, solar panels, things like that, and they're just being discarded in landfills. I mean, the fear is that, in Delaware, for example, we have farmland that's being converted over to solar factories. So we're taking food away from people, making food more expensive because we're producing less of it, and instead putting in a large area of just simply solar panels. And there's no indication as to what that does to the soil, how that changes the properties, and what do we do with all of these solar panels when they run their life. You know, we are told we'll have that figured out by then. Maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Yeah, they don't have the answer for that, because I ask people. It's the same thing, the whole solar panel scam in Maryland where they're covering ag property, and, you know, I bring that up. And then, I mean, I even know one of the so-called conservation programs where they came in, took a pasture away from dairy animals, and because there was a stream in it, and did all this work, planted all these trees, half of them are dead, and we're kind of rerouting the stream a little bit and trying to control the flow. Well, lo and behold, a month or two after that, a beaver dam, there were some beavers, and they built a dam in the stream. And what did the so-called environmentalists do? They destroyed the dam and the beavers. So everything they say is bass ackwards. It just does not make sense. But yet they seem to have a plethora of money to continue to proceed with this false narrative of climate change.
It's exactly as you said before. This has nothing to do with the environment. It has everything to do with money, power, and control. And the idea is that they can take over, they can control the electric flow, they control how much energy you have, they can control your behavior. And I'm afraid that's where we're headed unless we put a stop to it virtually immediately.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is a red alert type of subject, and that's why I purposely try to bring it up and bash it every time I can, because people are so misled, and they just don't understand, like you had mentioned earlier, with what it takes to extract the ingredients. If you just look up, you know, just do a search with, you know, lithium or cobalt mine or whatever, I mean, number one, you see these huge just huge holes in the earth. I say that they're raping the earth to supposedly save the sky, which, you know, is just not true. And it's just pathetic. And then I'm glad you mentioned the child labor, the slave labor. You see these little kids that, you know, are literally in the streams, and you would think it was back in the 1800s and, you know, people were mining for gold out in California or something. It just makes you sick to your stomach the more you look into it.
It does, and much of that is happening in a place called the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So if you're looking this kind of stuff up, make sure you put that in as a keyword, because that's the country where this is really being pushed the biggest. They have a lot of materials. They have a lot of children that will do it, and some of the pictures are just, you see children standing, you know, waist deep in toxic sludge. It's just, oh man, it just takes your breath away.
Yeah, for sure. So you also wrote a piece recently, Coastal Inundation, Rising Sea Levels Explained. So that's the thing we've been hearing for the last 30 and 40 years. You know, supposedly by now, New York City was going to be, you know, underwater, and we hear all this nonsense. It never comes true, all the exaggerations. So how do you, I know it's very complex and I'm a novice, and I would assume most of our listeners are, when it comes to, you know, your level of education and expertise, but how do you kind of fight back when people say that, you know, the everything's melting and we're all going to be underwater and all that kind of stuff? What's really going on there?
Well, see, that's more of an issue here in Delaware. Being a low-lying state, we're always concerned that you know, that sea level rise is going to cause us virtually to disappear. But the issue, that the funny thing has been that sea levels have been rising since for the last 22,000 years, since the demise of the last ice age. And there's a number of reasons for it. One is that the temperature has warmed as we've gone from a glacial to an interglacial period. As a result, the sea level water is a sea level is a incompressible fluid, and so it expands when warmed. We also have the melting of ice caps and the retreat of the Laurentide ice sheet. And so essentially what that means is that that water's got to go somewhere. So sea level has been rising for 20,000 years. My guess is it will continue to rise on its own until one of two things happen. That is, we eventually melt all of the ice caps and glaciers, or we will go head back into the next ice age. And that is a natural process. Now, for example, along the Delaware coastline, we're worried about sea level rise, but that's not really the big problem. Delaware coastline is a barrier island, just as the North Carolina coast is. And it reshapes itself over and over again because it's a dynamic process. So what happened, for example, back in the late 1700s, there was the Cape Henlopen Lighthouse, and it was built 1,500 feet from the coast. It fell into the sea in 1926. Has little to do with sea level rise, has everything to do with the fact that the coast reshapes itself. The Cape Henlopen spit was virtually non-existent in the early 1800s. By now, it's a large feature, and it continues to accrete, and we continue to lose land along the coast. Again, has nothing to do with sea level rise, has everything to do with reshaping of the coastline, because that's the process. The second thing is we had a large ice sheet pushing down on the New England area. When that pushes down, the Mid-Atlantic, which is around the edge of the ice sheet, was forced upwards. So the ice sheet melts as we go into the interglacial period, that New England starts to rise, Delaware and the Mid-Atlantic starts to subside. And so we estimate about two-thirds of actually the sea level rise that we experience is not because sea level is rising, it's because the land is subsiding. Now, that's never going to be addressed by temperature. That's never going to be addressed by carbon dioxide. And so when Obama made that famous statement that, you know, my campaign is when the seas cease to rise and, you know, coastal lines cease to be lost, that's not the case in many places, in particular here in Delaware, because most of what's happening is the fact that the land literally is compacting and subsiding. Same thing in southern Louisiana, because the Mississippi River is like a freeway with no on or off ramp. Essentially, all of the nutrients are channeled straight out. New Orleans has been compacting over time. Places in New Orleans are 20 feet below sea level. Question is, why would you ever build a city below sea level? The answer is, when they started building it, it wasn't below sea level. But the sediments have compacted. There is no natural process to bring these sediments back in and refill it. And so as a result, it just simply sinks along the coast. The water inundates. But New Orleans just gets lower and lower and lower. And these are the kinds of things I talk about in that report that you could find on the Heritage Organization, the Heritage Foundation's website.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks for pointing that out. That's where I found it, at heritage.org. And also we mentioned Dr. LeGates is doing work at Cornwall Alliance. And you just go to cornwallalliance.org there. Their latest book is Climate and Energy, The Case for Realism. And, you know, I'll just have to say in wrapping things up, Dr. LeGates, I can't, what you just rattled off, I can't imagine the lives that you've changed when you were a professor and, you know, somebody came in thinking that, you know, the climate's going to, you know, kill us all. And, you know, we have to, you know, we have to drastically change everything we're doing. And then you lay out that common sense type of approach and truth. And I'm sure that the light goes on over their head when they hear it, or at least I hope it does.
I would have hoped, but, you know, the university has become the bastion of the most extreme liberal views.
Yep.
And many of the students that are there already have a predisposed idea. I mean, they've come up through K-12
yep.
reading. I mean, before they were reading An Inconvenient Truth, five or six different classes.
Yeah.
From English to science to everywhere. So they were getting it over and over again. And so a lot of them come in with a predisposition that climate is changing, it's killing the planet, and we can't listen to this guy who's telling us something different.
Yeah, even though it's the truth. And again, for parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, godparents, anybody that cares about children, that's, and you know, we always bring these things up. Please try to pay attention to what they're being exposed to, and then, you know, confront that if it's not correct so that we can keep them on the right path. Dr. David LeGates has been our guest today, and just a wealth of knowledge. You can go to cornwallalliance.org and get a ton of free and excellent information. And also, there's a place on their site for their new book, Climate and Energy, The Case for Realism. Dr. LeGates, thanks so much. I know you're busy. I appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your weekend. Gosh, that was good. Don't you love hearing the truth? Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Again, go to cornwallalliance.org. And you can get a bunch of, as I just mentioned, a bunch of really good, truthful, accurate information. So the next time somebody tries to brag that they have an EV battery vehicle or whatever, you'll have something to talk to them about. All right, that does it for us. I hope you have a great rest of the weekend, and we will talk to you on the Morning News Express with Bob Miller. Monday and Chris, Monday through Friday at 5:56, 57, 50 a.m. for our live business updates. And then we'll be back here next weekend for another edition of the Your Financial Editor program. This is Chris Murray wishing you and your family financial success.
There's hip-hop beats at the Opry, I never thought I'd see the day. There's rappers wearing cowboy hats, it didn't used to be that way. I reckon that's the way it's gone, and it's something I can't be. It doesn't sound like country, it don't look like Tennessee.